In these days of heightened security awareness, better safe than sorry seems to be something of a mantra. When in doubt, build a barricade. Commentator Christopher Phillips wonders if too much safety might be dangerous for a democracy.
These days, it seems that most Americans have never met a wall they didn't like. Take the Democratic Convention, where delegates complained that the crowd of activists they had to walk through to enter the inner sanctum had not been walled off. Republicans vow not to let this happen to them. While you'd think that those nominating the next possible leader of the free world might want to mingle with Americans who are exercising their First Amendment rights, the fact is, even though they were in each other's faces, there was still an invisible wall between them. To heal a fractured nation, Lincoln promised a government of, by, and for the people. Today, it's far away from the people, and vice versa. Civic indifference is so pervasive that most Americans are political wallflowers who, less than four decades after many risked their lives so everyone could participate fully in our democracy, don't vote, much less take direct part in government or community. It's hard to be civic when, surveys report, we're no longer civil. Exacerbating rudeness and outright intolerance for differing views are fast becoming the norm. And most Americans so distrust government that they deem it a threat to basic freedoms. This is a far cry from the government envisioned by revolutionary activist Thomas Paine, who said it must be the vortex of its citizenry and embrace the whole of a nation, unlike the one it toppled, which knew nothing of the world beyond its walls. These days, the White House, the People's House, is barricaded behind concrete and barbed wire, city blocks closed off around it. And just yesterday, police shut down a sidewalk adjacent to the Treasury Department in response to credible threats. One passerby told the Washington Post that such barriers might make a difference and that we have to give up some freedoms to be safe. But don't we have to give up some safety to be free? This past July 4th, I gained the fortress-like Capitol after passing through security hoops extending so far outward that if John Kerry tried to toss his medals on its steps today, they'd fall well short of the mark. I huddled in a rainstorm with 25 others to hold a deliberative dialogue in the tradition of our founding fathers on the question, how should we live? Robert Frost has this philosophy of walls. Before I built a wall, I'd like to know what I was walling in or walling out, and to whom I was like to give offense. Too many walls today give offense. They wall people out, while those walling themselves in hide behind the fence of righteousness. Constantine Kefauvi, the poet of the Greek diaspora, was a peer of my grandparents who left Greece for the boundless promise of the U.S. because their homeland no longer resembled the glory days of ancient Athens, when demokratia, people power, reigned, and all citizens worked towards a greater good. Kefauvi lamented, "Without consideration, they built great high walls around me. Now I sit here in despair." Ronald Reagan called the United States a shining city on a hill whose beacon light guides freedom-loving people everywhere. It's hard to see this metaphorical city in its beacon light, what with the all-too-real walls surrounding it. I like to think he'd say, tear down those walls before they tear us apart.
Christopher Phillips is the author of Six Questions of Socrates. He lives in Williamsburg, Virginia.